Hello, hello, hello. It's us again.
Hello.
So today we are talking about weight. I feel like when we, like this, as soon as I sort of say weight, I feel like, ugh, this whole, like I'm just overcome with this feeling of like, oh my God, there's so much to like talk, moan about, slash, there's just so much out there on this subject.
Do you know what I put?
Yeah.
I put, this is a meaty one, isn't it?
Meat it is.
No pun intended. Oh. I'm just a fatty.
Oh, God. Like, weight, no matter what size you are, like you and I have openly said that we've both struggled with weight and food and like the old binge.
Struggle.
You know, a struggling. For me, yeah. I'm the heaviest I've ever been, which is really pissing me off. But like, I just feel like no matter what size you are, you know, you can be the perfect size 8. I say perfect size in inverted commas, like size shouldn't matter. But
yeah.
Sadly, but if you feel like crap because of your weight, you feel like crap because of your weight, yeah. Whatever size you are.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of, have you watched, I think I said this to you in like the first episode is, have you watched This Is Us?
Oh my God.
About the triplets.
Do you know, I started watching This Is Us, but I found I cried in every episode.
Oh God,
like I bawled my eyes
out. It's heartbreaking.
And I just actually couldn't. I love it. And it's one I'll go back to, but I found it actually, like I really cried in every single episode.
Yeah, well.
There were about 5 or 6 of them, so I left it.
I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster is, you know, to do it a disservice. Like it is just crazy, but there is a storyline obviously with Kate, one of the triplets,
and
she goes to I was gonna call it a fat club. That's because that is what I called Weight Watchers at university.
So did I.
I think it was like when Fat Friends was
on,
and it was all
club.
Of that type of vibe.
Yeah, when
but
fat
she
was
goes to a weight management club. Yeah, when you could still say fat. Yeah,
yeah.
And one of the women there is very, very skinny, and hers is about disordered eating and body dysmorphia, like very different issues. But I think, you know, Kate, the lady who struggles with her weight,
who
in
is
the series,
beautiful.
Oh, who's absolutely gorgeous.
She's so gorgeous.
Yeah, she really, really is. But she has an issue because that person is in the, you know, and they end up becoming friends, and it's a lovely story. But I feel like when I was thinking about this topic, and, you know, making a joke of it, it's like, oh, it's a meaty one. It, you know, it is. There's so much around it. And I think I was thinking back to the first time that I was made to feel fat.
Mm.
And that was like, I still remember that feeling of, oh, okay. I didn't know I was being judged in that way.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I get it now. And it was in a very public setting. And it was actually my husband who was like fat shaming me when we were like 11. Like this is going back in the day.
Yeah.
But I still, without too much thinking, kind of get transported back to that place of like, oh, okay, I'm going to be, that's another thing I'm being judged on is how I look and the weight that I am.
Right.
And that still ever so slightly breaks my heart, even here. You know, being married to the guy that, you know, called me fat. It's still
just a bit mental when you said
oh, it was in a drama.
Being
it
married
was,
to it the was guy in... who called me
well,
fat.
Well, no, but it was, okay, I'll tell you the whole context. It was when I first went to boarding school and it was a drama lesson, and half of our drama lesson was making up a little skit, and the second half was performing the skit. And my husband and a few of his friends did a skit that was impressions of people. And they came out with a few jumpers, stuffed up their own jumper and went, oh, I live in Gibraltar. And everyone was like, Lucy. And it was that moment of,
oh,
my God,
horrible.
I'm being taken the piss out of.
Yeah,
number
that's
one.
How they see you. Well, that's
and
how
that's
they
how
saw
they
you.
Saw me. Oh. And I never really realised that before. And I think that is something that, God, I feel like all of my references are always, oh, this TV program, but in True Detective, the amazing Matthew McConaughey says something around like, we're all being judged every second of every minute of the day. And if you don't realize that, you're not living life right. Like, but I think there is something, because particularly as a girl, and I know that's different, it is different nowadays, but yeah, that feeling of, oh, that's another thing I'm kind of going to be judged on. And my importance is going to be decided socially.
Well, self-importance as well. Like,
yeah.
Like, more importantly, yeah. Your self-importance, yeah. Is in, and your sort of worthiness and your confidence and all of those things, sadly, are going to, you know, be affected by...
And tied to that. Yeah.
And or how you feel, not how you look. But, like, you know, if you have felt unhappy with yourself and how you feel, how you look physically, sort of weight-wise...
Yeah,
that's
just, but it's a funny thing, isn't it, as well, because I think that makes me then think around, but then I don't have other body hang-ups, like, so I was just thinking about, you know, going back to school and thinking about other things that I suppose people had that they were made fun of, and, you know, there was a girl with quite a prominent nose, mm. And so I suppose I don't have some of those, like, hang-ups around. Like, I never really got hung up about a particular feature that I had.
No, same, actually. Same.
Anything like that. It's just always been my weight. So I suppose even people that don't have issues around weight probably have issues with some other part of their physical appearance. Because I suppose that's what we're talking about, really, isn't it? Physical appearance.
And yeah, and weight.
I actually, again, while I was thinking about this episode, thought, is weight even the right term? I suppose it's not an issue with my weight. Like, that's like a symptom of, like, my disordered eating, probably because of my undiagnosed ADHD, because I eat my dopamine, my emotions.
Yeah, that's what exactly.
Like, I want my dopamine hit, and a lot of that comes from food.
Definitely. There is a link now that they've found between women and cravings and weight, as I think I touched upon in another episode. You know, with ADHD, but I guess the thing is, weight's such a, I guess it isn't just about weight, it's about your appearance, but the overweightness in my life has had a huge impact on how I see myself, yeah. And how I, and actually for me, it is my weight. You know, I'm not so bothered, like you say, there aren't other features that I'm that bothered about. You know, at one point I would have liked blue eyes.
Did you?
Yeah, I think just because it's different, because I'm darker skinned, I quite like that. But I mean, I'm not that, I wasn't bothered. It would just be nice, and I can actually get contacts if I could really be asked, but I can't.
Yeah.
And it was like something when I was a teenager, it would have been nice. But maybe having curly hair and not straight hair may have been a thing. But weight really has been the thing that's like, been such a huge thing for me. I've gone up and down, you know, big, small. And actually, I think it's also one of the things I think about the most about myself is my weight. And I think it's one of the things that frustrates me the most, because there is so much out there. Like, one minute, you know, like when we're the sort of the originals, like the Weight Watchers, Slimming World, Slim Fast, whatever, shakes and that sort of thing. And then you've got the, you know, now it's all about fasting and keto, and you're just like, what the fuck is the right thing to do? You're just constantly, it's overwhelming, and it's just like, what is right? You talk to one person, they say do this. You hear another podcast, or, you know, there's a TV program on about whatever, juicing, yeah. Or what, you know, it's weight's just such a hard one. And I just find myself not losing weight because I'm constantly fucking confused as to what I should do. And that means that one week I'm juicing, next week I'm, you know, doing sort of protein shakes, next week I'm doing keto, next week I'm just binging because I've just had enough of it, you know. And yeah, like you with the dopamine hits, you know, I eat when I'm happy. I eat a lot. I don't actually eat a lot, but I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. Food is a real sort of comfort for me. I guess a bit like some people. So computer just made a noise then. A bit like when some people you know, some people use alcohol or smoking or drugs or whatever. For me, it's very much food. And the hard thing about food is that unlike drugs and alcohol, cigarettes or whatever, you don't actually need it to live.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need booze.
Yeah, you can't stop eating. Yeah.
You know, and so it's a constant, for me, it just feels like a constant challenge. And what I would love is for someone, you know, I tried to do Zoe to make it a more bespoke thing for me. But actually,
which is the blue biscuits.
Yeah,
the blue biscuits. And that is constantly being served to me on Instagram. The blue biscuits.
And you know, there are some learnings of Zoe, but it's interesting.
It gives your intolerance.
Yeah, it kind of does. But do you know, a few people have said that they've really lost weight doing it. But I just found it again more like restriction and more it's good to know sort of how my body works, but it doesn't give you a finite, right, this is you, this is exactly who you are,
yeah,
and this is what you really should do. And also what it does do is make you log, and once you've done it, it makes you log and then measure and fucking do it like my fitness pal. So it's giving you, again, it's actually everything that says it's not a diet, like Noom. Sorry, I'm just ranting here now, but Noom is like it says it's not a diet, but of course it's a fucking diet. It restricts you to 1200 calories. Like, of course that's a diet, but it claims not to be. And I feel like everything at the end of the day becomes restrictive and psychologically unhealthy, and then you just go in this perpetual circle of weight shit, basically.
Well, and
that's my rant over.
Well, no, and it's a fair rant. And you know, I think I have been like you throughout my life. I've constantly been doing one sort of diet or another. I think the worst one for me was probably the Doucan.
I mean, I've done Doucan every diet. I don't think there's a diet I haven't done.
I mean, that French guy, he was a French guy. Yeah, he was a doctor, but he's savage. It's like keto.
It is.
But it's keto word. But then it was like a French Atkins, but sometimes you'd have a week where you could eat fruit and vegetables. It like teased you, and then it'd be like, no more fruit and vegetables. And I think I'm a bit like the Tasmanian devil with my food. It's like I'm good, and then I just go, oh, do you know what, fuck it,
yeah something,
and I
happen.
Just go,
yeah.
And I think that for me is the unhealthy bit of it, is like I'm like a faster who then has really unhealthy, just fuck it. And do you know what? Sometimes the food isn't particularly unhealthy, but it's just the amount that I mindlessly shove into my big fat gob that just, yeah. And it's one of those, I suppose, coping mechanisms for me that I've always struggled with. And I think going back to what you were saying about genes and things like that, it is, I think, so much of what we're learning now is that a lot of it does come down to how you're made up. So I, you know, I am now on Wegovy.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm on Wegovy, and when I, you know, when the whole Ozempic thing happened,
yeah,
there was all of this chat around it, I was like, do you know what? I don't think I'd do that. I don't think I would. But it turns out that my cancer doctor was basically like, you're fat. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am. Sorry, it's always like on the bottom of my to-do list.
Compared to a lot of people, you're not fat.
So I had a BMI of 32.
Yeah, see, my BMI is 37.
So, and then he basically said, I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't really call me fat, but he said, your BMI is over 32. And I said, I know. And I thought he was actually going to refer me to like his mate who was a nutritionist or something.
Yeah.
But he basically said, there are things we can prescribe nowadays for that. And it turns out when you offer a fat girl who has, you know, I've kind of felt like that my whole life, you offer a magic injection, and turns out I said yes, and I'm now taking it, and I'm like 3 months in. I actually have to weigh myself in the next couple of days.
Mm.
But I can't remember how much weight I've lost, but I've definitely lost significant weight. And I think the thing for me is, going back to your point around, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're addicted to other things, you can cut them out completely and you can't do that with food.
Yeah.
What I found with Wegovy is I just don't think about food anymore. I used to think about food 24/7. Yeah. And now I just don't. I go down the pub and I went down the pub the other day and had pie and chips. I would have eaten all of that pie and chips, like, yeah, without even thinking. But I just didn't. I just got to the point where I was like, that was really nice, but I've had enough now. And I've never had that feeling my life. And it is such a fucking weird thing. And I joke about how, like, I'm going, like, full 90s chic. Like, I'm going heroin, Kate Moss in a Calvin Klein advert. Like,
yeah.
I joke about that lollipop head, but...
I joke about lollipop head all the time.
In all seriousness, like, it's like something has been switched off in my brain.
Well, that's what it does, doesn't it? The hormone does do that.
Fucking weird. Mm. It's really weird. It's kind of quite disconcerting, but it's also incredibly liberating. And like being diagnosed with ADHD, it's kind of that thing of like, oh, okay. You know, I was almost a slave to my DNA. It was my DNA that was making me over fucking eat. And like, you know, I think, like, I used to work in fast moving consumer goods. Like, I just think there is such an issue with the way that food is marketed.
Mm, so do I.
These poor dopamine producers who, you know, doing the research for my ADHD episode, we're much more likely to be overweight. We're much more likely to have disordered eating. And the way that these products are marketed to us, it's tapping into that dopamine. I need something quick. I need some sort of hit.
It's a fix, it's precious, isn't it? It's a proper fix. Yeah. It's like
these
drug
precious
fix.
Amount of, but the thing is that people will sit here and be like, just don't eat the chocolate bar, you fat bitch.
Mm, yeah. But actually,
and I thought like that, I think. I felt like it was something to do with me. It was like a lack of control. It was, and I think all of those things are true. But the fact that it can literally be just turned off by the switch of a button, I would say, why would you not do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do it, actually. The only reason I'm not doing it is because I want to have another baby. And they advised not to. Otherwise, I totally would have. Although my doctor did, my GP was saying not to do it regardless.
And what was the reasoning?
He was just sort of saying that, you know, it's meant for people who are diabetic, who are out of control with their eating and their, you know, not out of control with their eating, out of control, sorry, with their weight. Sorry, I just got completely distracted by
that
computer.
Was my fault.
You know, and that it's kind of more of a last resort thing, and that you know, it feels like it's gone a bit too mainstream. But I would have totally done it had I not been wanting to have another child, just sneak one in before I get too old. But like, yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's really hard to control, you know, and it doesn't, you don't have to have ADHD to have craving, you know, to have cravings anything. So,
and
like,
not for one minute am I suggesting, not, you know, there are lots of different reasons.
Completely.
I think from my point of view, it's like, it's so weird because I feel like every age I've kind of felt like I really, you know, like, someone referred to me the other day and were like, you're really self-assured. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I never really thought of myself in that way. But like, for me, my 40s, I feel like loads of stuff is like clicking into place.
Yeah,
and like
same.
With the Wegovy stuff, it's absolutely crazy that like it's helping people stop other addictions as
totally.
Well, like not just food. And for me, it is a wonder drug. That's not to say that it doesn't come with symptoms, side effects, because I'd probably be remiss if I didn't say that I definitely have had some quite terrible side effects.
Yeah. What, like, are those?
So I think the worst one for me is it takes me back to camping in Naples. So I went on a camping trip when I was at university, Croatia and Italy. And in Naples we camped And it was a really cheap campsite, which we realized why the first night we were staying there. And we were like, what is that noise? And it was basically sat on like a volcanic site. So like geysers and stuff that were going off.
Oh, wow.
So my burps can smell like that campsite, shall we say?
Oh, wow.
And my husband, his social media of choice is Reddit.
Right.
I think that says a lot about my husband.
We've looked up
the sulfur burps and it is a thing.
It
is a thing.
Right.
And, you know, without going into too much detail, yeah, if you eat the wrong type of food, you know, high fat, high sugar, high processed, you're going to feel it. You're going to be sick. You know.
And do you think
it's not pleasant?
Is that, that then causes nauseousness?
No. So the sulfur burps are one thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Eating. So that can be brought on by, again, eating the wrong types of food.
Yeah.
So when you take the injection, I find that I get a real metallic taste in my mouth.
Right.
So like when I did radiotherapy, mm-hmm. they'd inject you with the dye and you'd kind of feel that metallic taste.
Right.
I think sometimes you get it when you have COVID as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know that feeling that mm-hmm. like you get that straight away.
Yeah.
So it kind of does change the way that you kind of taste things as well. And when you eat certain things, the sulfur burps can come. But then when you eat other things, you can feel really sick. And yeah, there's a lot. Like, it's not, I wouldn't say it was like a really easy route, and you definitely have to sort out your eating at the same time as taking the drug. Like, it's not like a,
if you
come off it, yeah. so you lose all the weight and then you're meant to wean yourself off the drug,
right?
So you kind of have to sort out why you got to your weight in the first place.
The sort of whatever disordered eating yeah. is.
And then actually when I was doing the research for the sulfur online, I was doing some reading on Reddit. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my research from. And it was actually saying as well, the second time, so if you do a Govee,
yeah.
lose loads of weight, become Kate Moss in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then you put loads of weight on.
Yeah.
The second time you do it, it is just not as effective at all.
Oh,
and they
really?
Don't know why, but have to. And I think that's for me the thing at the moment. I'm really trying to get to a point where I'm like, I want to get down to a manageable weight. Like, in all seriousness, I don't want to go full lollipop because I just won't be able to maintain that.
Yeah.
I need to find a good weight that I can kind of keep balanced and, you know.
I suppose if you went, I guess it's in my view, then I would go and lose a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And then sort of, so I've got a bit of an allowance to put come some
off
on.
It. Yeah, come off it just before Christmas.
Yeah exactly.
Have a good old Christmas good there. Old.
But it's
whole tub of celebrations to yourself.
It's actually really refreshing. I mean, I know quite a few people who are on it. And it's funny, isn't it? Because there's been feel like quite a few people, okay, some of the slimmer ones perhaps, I mean, I see you as slim, I've never seen you as fat in inverted commas, but it's funny because some people are clearly on it and just not talking about it.
Oh,
which
gotcha.
I find really weird, like, just be honest about it.
Well, and
you know,
I think
there's nothing to be ashamed, it's like Botox, you know, it's if you want to do whatever to your body, do it. I don't see why people have got such, you know, I would definitely do it if I could, but like I said, I want to have a baby and they recommend that you don't.
Yeah.
Which I get too. But like, just if you want to do, people shouldn't judge what others want to do to their bodies. Like, whatever it is, just do whatever you want.
Botox, but we all do.
Fillers.
I would never do Botox. Not that I judge people that do. Mm. But there's just, for me, something around injecting something into my face that I don't like. Microneedling, I'm there.
Yeah, you
shove
do love a
loads
bit of, that,
of needles into my face and make me bleed
yeah.
to stimulate collagen production. I am all about that, baby. But inject some shit into my face that I don't really know what it is. Nah, you're all right.
Yeah.
But everyone has different parameters, don't they, and different things that they would do. As I say, before I was sat there in front of my cancer doctor and he said, do you want to go on Wegovy, love? I would have been like, I don't think I'd ever do that. I think it's cheating. But then it turns out he's offering it to you for 90 quid a month. And I'm like, sign me up, bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
how much is it normally?
I don't even know.
I mean, that sounds right. Yeah. I mean, I have
about,
no idea,
it's about, yeah. It's about a few standard. Hundred pa- yeah. yeah. But it's a real, I think it's a real funny thing that you, and on that, like, celebrity people taking it or people just in your life as well, I do think that there are certain people that are now, I think, who have lost loads of weight that I think, is it Wegovy?
I mean, it's really bloody obvious.
I would say 99.9% of the time, it's fucking Wegovy. Like,
yeah,
it is.
Because it goes so quickly.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely come across a few people that have said that they haven't done it, but blatantly have, because for years and years they've been a certain size, and then suddenly within like 2-3 months,
yeah,
I just clicked my finger.
It's then. It's not rocket science.
You're like, come on, just don't insult my intelligence by telling me that you've done this naturally when.
Yeah,
you know, but just, and it's fine. Like, just do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter.
But there is a stigma, and I think that's the thing. Because a friend of mine, when I told her that I was going on it, she was like, "Oh my god, I'm really interested in doing it too." She does not have a lot to lose. So they can prescribe Wegovy. I think it's 30 BMI plus.
I mean, I know people that have lied about their weight. To get it.
To get on it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's really interesting.
It's Ozempic or Wegovy. But it's the same thing. You have to go through like a process. But I definitely know people that have not told the truth.
Then and that's the thing. It's like, do I think it's a bad thing? Do you know what I think again is shows that we now operate in a completely two-tiered medical system that I basically, because I can afford to pay, can essentially get these things, you know, get Wegovy, you know, be seen for my cancer very, very quickly. You know, all of these things that I have because I can afford that healthcare is just insane to me. That we just do operate in such a two-tiered system now, and we just don't ever really talk about that. Sorry, I've just gone off on a complete tangent, but
no, not at all. I mean, it's still, we're still
again, it's
about
just
weight
me being able to buy into, you know, because some people, I don't want to come across like I'm totally out of touch with reality. Like, I know £90 is actually quite a lot of money, and not something that everyone has, but
not at the moment. Like, I mean, god, everyone's.
I feel like people who are like morbidly obese should be able to go on it through the NHS.
Yeah. Like, and I think
what
you
does morbidly
can,
obese
I think there? you can, it's so hard, isn't it? Because like BMI, they say, is sort of quite inaccurate. You know, people that, when I tell people how much I actually weigh, I mean, I don't think they're always being polite, but I'm quite heavy. Like, even when I'm a size 10, I'm a heavy, I'm 10 stone. Oh, I'm 10 and a half stone and I'm a size 10.
My favourite nurse in the NHS, so my GP that I was made to move from, who I love, 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 love. And I always say that I don't think my cancer would have got to stage 2 if I'd have still been at my previous GP, because I know they would have sent me for the test that I needed to. But there was a lovely nurse there who was amazing. His name was Albert. Every time I saw him, he used to ask whether James had quit smoking, because he kept on prescribing things to James. He'd be like, has your husband quit smoking? But he actually told me
now.
No, he's quit now.
Yeah. I thought so.
But for years and years and years. And he actually told me that I was big boned. So I was going to him after the children were born, and he was like, you're overweight. You're just big boned though, because you look fine. I think that is the thing. Like, we get so hung up on a number, don't we? I used to be obsessed as a teenager with weighing myself. Obsessed. I'd weigh myself 50 times a day. It became so unhealthy that I now don't have scales in my house. Mm. So actually getting back on the scales has been a big thing for me. Because even
when
through having the children, I'd be like, I don't want to see the scales. I just will hide from them and live in blissful ignorance while eating a massive piece of cake. But I've completely lost my trail of thought.
We were talking about weight and being, I was saying that even when I'm a size 10, I'm like 10 and a half stone, which for lots of people could be heavy, but I don't think I'm big boned, because actually when I am a size 8 or 10, mostly really the thinnest is a sort of between a small 10, I guess. I am quite small and I look like a naturally sort of quite petite person, but I think my bone density is, I believe in like heavier bones or heavier skin, like even, you know, my skin's quite thick, whereas some people have quite thin skin, you know. I sort of believe in the weight of the bones. I mean, there's no medical sort of medical science
anything to back up
that up, but fuck, I love it. That's what I think. Because big bone, because the thing is, I'm not broader, I'm just, all of my weight is just fat.
Well, is that
or fat and muscle?
I actually, it's a really funny thing, and I think again, growing up in the 90s, it was really different. I've actually had to have conversations with my mother, because the first thing that my mother will say to me, even now as a almost 43-year-old woman, is, "Oh, you're looking good." If she says you're looking good, it means you've not put on any weight since the last time I've seen you.
Yeah.
Or if you're looking skinny, that means I've lost weight. Or, you know, if she doesn't say anything, then that probably means that I've put on weight. And she'll do that, but, and she'll also say within that conversation, "Oh, you know, I'm not my touch." She's a Slimming World, has been going to Slimming World for years. You know, "Oh, I'm not quite at my target." And it is literally the first thing she always says to me, and I have had to say, "You need to stop doing that. You cannot do that in front of my girls. Like, I do not want weight to be the most important thing to them." And I remember having a conversation, or I remember overhearing a conversation between my gran and my mother about my frame and whether my frame was similar to the girls whose house I was staying at, and they'd come to pick me up, and they were commenting on whether our frames were the same. And I remember thinking,
why were they doing that?
I don't even know what I remember, like, thinking, I don't even know what frame means. And then asking my mother after we dropped my granny off and being like, "Mummy, what does frame mean?" And she was like, "Oh, what do you mean?" And I remember her talking about, it's the way you're kind of made up. And I remember thinking, God, I'd never, again, like, I just never thought of myself in that way about my frame. And the guy that I worked with a few years ago said I had shoulders like a football player. What? And I was like an American football player.
Why did you
player.
Say that?
Because I'm broad. I like, I don't have think pretty broad shoulders. Well, he seems to think I do. But again, like, I just
also,
don't
why
really...
are they? Why did he even say that to you? I don't even understand.
There was some sort of context around it, but I can't even... Maybe it was something like, my husband does call me a cart horse or like a mountain goat, because we used to live about 10 minutes away from a Sainsbury's before we got our car in London, before we had children. When you didn't need a car in London.
Yeah.
I used to walk back from the supermarket and have,
like a donkey.
Six different bags. Yeah. So maybe it was around that. I don't know, but... Again, I've never really thought of myself in that way. And I think it is a weird thing to just, be... One of the other things I was thinking, actually, when I was thinking about this episode was, it stopped me, my weight stopped me saying things, because I was always really worried that if I said something controversial or something, a little bit off the cuff, then they'd just be like, "Oh, shut up, you fatty
or whatever."
Bitch.
Yeah.
And there was always that, like, I was always scared that someone could just fight back by and use my weight against me. And that's like a really horrible place to be, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I mean, my weight's definitely like stopped me going out, you know, if I can't think of what to wear or I just feel crap or... You know, it really
See,
has
I don't
a,
think
ma-
I've ever
a massive
had that.
Impact. I definitely remember a few things that I've not gone to because of a particular person who I just think is going to be really fucking judgy. And I know she's actually judgy. She's a old friend's wife, ex-friend's wife.
And you wouldn't go somewhere.
And I would just, just because if I just felt crap and I couldn't think of what to wear. And, you know, it has really, it's really stopped me having a couple of, you know, just nights out that I would have loved, but I just wasn't in the right headspace and I felt really crap. And for some reason, my weight's the only thing that has upset me about myself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it definitely has. They're definitely not now, but I definitely remember in my like 20s, early 30s, not going if I didn't feel good enough about myself, because I just thought, oh God, they're just going to judge me, or I don't know, whatever, which is probably absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
I mean, this particular person was quite judgy, to be fair, but with the mum thing as well, like I would never comment on my daughter's weight. My family definitely have, like even when I did the marathon in 2011, you know, I was probably having one of my heavier moments then. And I remember my gran, who I fucking adore, she is amazing and we are super close, but she's Norwegian and they're very direct in Scandinavia.
So generally. Direct.
And she was on the phone, she was like, in Norwegian, she was basically saying, I just don't know how she's going to do it. I mean, she's so fat. But the word that she used for fat was like feit, which means like, it's almost like the greasy, like dripping of her. It was such a gross, you know, like, anyway, I bloody did it.
She's
did
like the human form of a greasy spoon.
Exactly. She's like the dripping from the fucking steak. But I did the marathon and it was fine. But my mum will often say, you know, I'll say, oh, I need to, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. Da, da, da. And she's like, yeah, you know, you should, you know, you're so much prettier when you're slimmer. And she says I'm much prettier when I'm happy as well and not sour faced. But then she'll turn up with like all my favourite M&S cakes and, you know, all the stuff that she knows that I love, which just doesn't help.
But yeah, they're cheeky little monkeys for that, mums.
Especially like, mums of the 80s and 90s.
Totally. But
like, and we wouldn't do that now.
But I think there's something with mums as well, because my mum's exactly like that. She'll always comment on my weight, but then get all of the things in that she knows that I probably shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
And then when I gave up alcohol, she was constantly on at me about my drinking. But then as soon as I gave up alcohol, it was like, oh, will you just have a glass of wine with me? And it's like, no, mother, you've basically told me I'm an alcoholic and now I've quit drinking and now you're basically like dangling the carrot in front of me. Like, why are you doing that? I think mums are a bit naughty.
They are.
I wind up my daughter, and I can't even, and this is making me think of something horrible which I did last night. My 11-year-old is at the moment coming into our bed again in the middle of the night. Yeah, and it's really fucking annoying. But what one of us that? Then has to go upstairs. I have no idea. Anyway, she got in my bed the other night and she was like, I was like, I'm going to go to the toilet, Dorothy, because she wakes me up and then I'm like, oh, I need a wee. And I came back and I was like, I can't believe you've woken me up again, Dorothy. And I actually had my eyes closed, but she was like, Mummy, are you looking at me? And I opened up my eyes and I could just see her. And she was like, you're smiling really weirdly. And I was like, I'm not. And she was like, you are. And I don't know why I did it, but I just like made this like really like creepy smiley face at her.
Yeah.
And she was like, Mummy, you're doing it. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then I actually was. And she had this total moment where she actually just freaked out. I cannot remember why I started saying
we
this
were talking about how mums can be weird about weight.
Oh, but this and that was it. And then there was just something that possessed me. She was like, Mummy, stop it, stop it. And I was like, okay, I'm not gonna do it, Dotty, I'm not gonna do it. And then she looked at me and I just did it, and she jumped up. She was like, I can't, like, and this was, we're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning here. Yeah. She was so upset with me, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a terrible person. I just don't know what possessed me to joke at 3 o'clock in the morning and make a really scary, weird smiley face at her in the dark. Like, what possessed me to do that? No, and I think sometimes as human beings...
Mums can just be...
Sometimes we can just be... Or is that just me?
Maybe that's just you, actually. I think that could just be... No, I mean, we're all a bit
As soon
weird.
As I did it, though, I was like... there was just something. It was just...
Well, you just felt compelled to wind her up slightly.
Yeah, because she'd woken me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Sort of... But it wasn't something that I did like consciously. Sometimes it's like unconscious things that
And you weren't mocking it. It wasn't like you were mocking her or...
No, it was just, yeah, just, I don't, it was just a, it was a reaction. It wasn't a, what do they say at the moment? You don't, you shouldn't react to things, you should respond.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's apparently supposed to help with like our impulsiveness, is that you're reacting when you're impulsive.
Yeah, if we should respond.
It's thought through, it's more calm. And that was a real reaction. If I'd have responded to that moment, I would have thought, don't shit your daughter up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and this is only going to provide you with more trouble. But I didn't.
You just kept
I went,
going,
she like told me not to do something and now I'm doing it.
It's funny. Just taking it back to weight and daughters, actually. I don't know about you, but I think with my weight and with having gone up and down and yo-yoed for as long as I can remember, although looking back at photos now, I was totally slim and I should never have been upset with my weight at all. But do you, like, I try, if I'm totally honest, I do want to make sure that my daughter doesn't suffer with her weight.
Yeah.
And I don't, and like I do... You know, I am sort of subtly trying to discourage bad in inverted commas. Sorry, because no one can see us. I keep saying inverted commas. But
we don't
like bad foods, and you know, I'm like, I just don't want you to have this struggle. And hopefully, things are going to be different.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's the other side. So we're just looking at our mics. Hopefully it's sort of different now, but I do sort of worry, and I do, you know how when they're growing, they go out before they go up.
Yeah.
And
oh, there you have definitely been times have those
when I've like thought, shit, I just don't want her to, and it's fine. But I feel bad for feeling that way because I feel like, I just feel bad for it.
Do you know what? I think it comes back to that point as we're marching on as a human race and we're not going to get it 100% right. But I feel like we're much more aware of, you know, the ultra processedness of shit and that it's not good. Like, I'm really trying to do like a more balancing act with my kids. Like, I definitely am like not, you know, there's definitely, I'm not going so far as to say they cannot have sugar.
Sure.
But I do feel like there's a real balance with these things. I also feel like representation is much better now. I do feel like we grew up in a period of time that was particularly valued skinniness. You know, we grew up in the time of like those age-old supermodels, you know, like there was a real kind of emphasis on being skinny, and I feel like there has been pushback on that. And don't get me wrong, it's not perfect.
No, of course.
But I think it is better. Our daughters are growing up with something completely different, which is, you know, things like porn and things like that, you know, like that type of stuff, which we just did not have to consider or think about type of stuff, like those kind of sexual standards now that our girls are going to have to, you know, there's a real disordered way of thinking there at the moment.
Grooming. And I went into a shop the other day, actually, in fact, on the way back from the stables, our girls ride together. And on the way back from the stables, and I don't know where, we just went into like, you know, local supermarket or whatever, local shop. And yeah, on the top shelf, there were loads of porn mags.
Love it.
But I was like, fuck, I haven't seen porn mags for, you know, or like a top shelf.
Love a porn
and
mag shelf.
But Gabriella was like, Mommy, what are those magazines? Why are those magazines? Why has that woman not got any? And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I actually couldn't believe
that.
Sidestepping here, but like, couldn't believe that there were porn magazines on a top shelf.
Yeah,
in real life.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. There's lots more sort of online stuff that we need to be, all the sort of cyberbullying and trolling
When we first moved to Portsmouth, we moved into some Marie quarters, which basically like places that you can live when you're in the forces for like cheap rent. And I will never forget, there was this like shed that we all used to go in and play, and this guy had basically made his own porno, which were cut out, you know, like page three.
Yeah.
He basically cut loads out from his dad's newspapers and stuck them into like this A4 little booklet he'd made. And that was the first porno I ever saw, was a homemade page three porno. Isn't that great? God. I love that.
I love it.
But that would have been so like, this stuff now is like hardcore. Do you know what I mean? And it's like at your fingertips. Like that is what scares me for my little boy. For sure. Like when those hormones start coming and being able to access like literally anything your heart desire or your groin desires.
And women,
you know, like, all of that stuff that's out there is something that we just did not have to contend with at
completely.
All.
But I do want that, those, the hangover from the weight, not to, you know, I do feel bad that that sort of, that is, that sits with me a little bit. But you know, you're right. I think ultra, you know, we grew up in the times of like low fat. And also I felt like we grew up in the times where, we sound really old. We're not actually that old, but
I love it.
But we grew up in where processed food was sort of like cool and exciting and, you know, and
yeah, there's a reason millennials talk about Sunny D. Like that stuff is like radioactive. Oh, like it was pulsing and like used to pretty much inject that shit into our veins, man. Like we had that intravenously.
We did.
Is that the word?
Huge bottles
as
well.
They're fucking gross, mate. Cheese strings.
Yeah.
They came out like, I don't even know why. Like all this shit that I think that we used to like
Finder's
fucking
crispy
eat.
Pancakes.
Oh, Finder's crispy pancakes. There's an amazing scene in Peep Show about Finder's crispy pancakes, and they are dirt. Although my kids did really get into them for a while.
I have to say, I do love them.
Who doesn't?
My guilty. Well, no, not
the beef crispy ones or and tomato.
I can't remember which ones from. Ugh. I think it was like ham and cheese. I remember
ham and cheese. There's
child,
like a mozzarella
but
now.
My guilty pleasure when it comes to processed food from when I used to go to the stables on a Saturday as a child is still a green pot noodle, chicken and mushroom.
Yeah, chicken and mushroom baby.
But yeah, but I think hopefully people are moving towards one ingredient foods and that sort of thing. But the other thing is the expense, like going to the chip shop or going to like these like chicken shops and that sort of thing is so cheap compared to like food, like healthy food is more expensive now. You can pick up a whole load of shit, high salt, high saturated fat, calorific grossness for not very much.
And I think the thing is like you can eat healthily and like, you know, your Jamie Oliver's spout on about, oh, you can cook a meal for 50p and whatever. But like one thing that I've learned is what it takes is time. It takes effort. It takes organization. And it's all right for you, Jamie Oliver, to sit there in your £1 million house. Don't get me wrong. You've worked bloody hard for your £1 million house. And I'm not, you have every right to sit there in your £1 million house.
I think it's multiple £1 million house now.
But don't preach, okay? There are people who are out there working freaking horrible jobs, getting abused by people. Yeah, two, three jobs. And sometimes people don't have the mental capacity. People don't want to be eating the same shitty tomato pasta every, you know, I think there's something in that where we are, you know, what do marketers do? They communicate with us. They make us buy their products essentially. And when you are knackered from a, 40-hour week, you just want something that's really quick and easy.
Yeah. Whack a pizza in the oven.
I think again, it like so much of like, when people are preaching to you, so much of it reeks of privilege of like, you know, this is the way you should do it. And this is, you know, this is the way you can do it. And sometimes it's just not always that easy.
And also like, if you look back at it, you know, if you look at the cost of Weight Watchers and Slimming World, I mean, the whole fucking diet, like the diet industry is just so wrong in terms of, you know, the diet industry exists on the basis that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because the second you stop, you're back to where you were again.
Yeah.
Which is really, really awful and should be illegal. You know, the whole... But then if you... You know, for those that want to partake in it, the cost of it, you know, it's actually... I don't know what Slimming World and... I don't know what they are now, but I remember trying them both. You know, and some people just can't afford that either. And actually, I think you can get Weight Watchers on the NHS for some now.
The thing is, I think as well, you're just...
All the good stuff's just fucking... Not saying that Weight Watchers and Slimming World is good, but it does, as you know...
It goes back to me for that, like, is it the right point? Is it... we're talking about weight, but the conversation should be around food and, you know, what we use food for and what food is for. If you, I suppose, treat the disordered eating,
mm-hmm.
then you sort the rest out, I suppose. But I do agree that people get trapped into vicious cycles. And that's why I've got... my Instagram's called Too Much Gravy, and the reason I set that name up is because for me, the more I learn about life, the more I realize that everything is about balance. Like, you can never go too far one way or too far the other way. You need that kind of yin and yang. And anything that goes too far one way is, for me, when it becomes unhealthy or, you know, whatever. So it's everything in moderation.
Yeah, there's a...
moderation is what I find hard because of my ADHD dopamine hiatus. And sometimes I just want to eat that 18th chocolate digestive biscuit. And I do so before I even really... my brain has time to catch up.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. And that doesn't make me a disgusting pig. In some ways it does, but in other ways it's just how I made up and that's okay.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the other thing, isn't it? Like, as much as we're talking about my ADHD, our ADHD, as much as we're talking about our weight, these are tiny little bits of us as human beings, these amazing multifaceted creatures that...
Yeah, we need to celebrate all the good things, and actually weight isn't what it's all about. And I think, you know, it's raising self-esteem and sort of helping yourself in other ways, even though weight is also tied up in self-esteem. But, you know, I think it's not just all about that. But there is there's just one thing, actually, that a nutritionist did tell me that I thought I'd share because I found this really helpful. Mm. Because I will sort of restrict, and then suddenly go to drive to the garage and get like a packet of Maltesers and some crisps and maybe some of those shitty 50p sweets and eat them by the time I've got home, which is like a 3-minute drive. anyway, this restrict binge shame cycle, which I think is a good one to share, is that basically restriction causes binge, causes guilt and shame. And then it's basically this cycle that you restrict, you feel limited and helpless, then you binge, then you feel the guilt and shame.
Yeah.
And then you just continue on that.
It's
a continuation.
A vicious cycle, as they call it. A vicious cycle. And there's a guy...
So restriction basically doesn't, you know, restriction is not the way forward. Yeah.
There's a really interesting... I can't remember what his name is now, but there's a guy on Instagram that does very thought-provoking reels around this very subject. And he...
Lucy lives on Instagram.
I know, I totally do.
There's a reel?
Like, people now just send me things saying, you know, we're in a relationship, because we literally... our whole relationship is just sending reels to each other. But he...
Sorry,
does really...
No, but
it's... he does really interesting things like comparing different like chocolate bars or different fast food dinners. And then he compares it to other things like avocado on toast, which is meant to be really good. And he's like, you know, is it worse to have a cheeseburger and chips from McDonald's or, you know, sourdough, avocado, eggs and bacon, you know?
He
does like these side by side comparisons. And I think that for me is the really interesting thing of, you know, I feel like There's always a villain as well, isn't there, of the piece? Like, as you said, the villain used to be fat and now the villain's sugar. And then there'll be another villain, like carbohydrates or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always a villain. Actually, there's no villain. There's just having a healthy, balanced diet, some of which can be junk food, most of which should be nice, healthy, natural things that we find on the earth. I mean, I don't feel like that is too controversial.
No,
like, I think that's common sense.
I think we should just not give ourselves such a hard time either, because I do think cortisol plays a huge part in weight, and that comes obviously from stress. And, you know, it's not just the kind of extreme fight or flight stress. It can come from more daily stresses.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, cortisol is a factor to think of when considering weight. So, you know, there's lifestyle changes that can be made, et cetera, et cetera. But I think...
so much to learn.
There's so much to learn. And I feel like we need to end it on something profound, but I can't think of anything. I just hopefully think that people will listen to this and think, feel the same, or just I think this is one to comfort someone else that's going through it.
Yeah,
to sort of
sure.
go, hey, and maybe, you know, maybe they'll try the Govee or whatever, or maybe they won't, or but to know that other people are out there kind of feeling the same, because I don't feel like there's anything that I've offered here.
Well,
that's
it's
of
that
any
thing,
use.
Isn't it? It's that thing of, like, I always say this to my husband when he doesn't want to speak on public transport, and I'm like, no one really gives a fucking shit, James. And it's that, isn't it?
We're all dealing
with our own things.
We're all dealing with
your weight is someone else's, speaking on public transport is someone else's, addiction is someone, like, everyone is struggling with fucking something.
Yeah.
And as much as some people might be like, oh, look at that fat bitch, does that really affect you? And if someone is saying that, then do you know what? Fuck off. You see you next Tuesday, because, you know, like, who am I hurting?
I think
maybe that wasn't profound, but
it's just
we're all going through something.
We're all going through.
And you're beautiful. You are absolutely beautiful. I used to write down, I really must go because I need to pick up my children.
Yeah,
we
need to do the school.
I used to write down quotes when I was in my teens, and I had a quote book, and one of them was that nothing was so beautiful that from certain lights and angles it can't look absolutely disgustingly ugly, and vice versa. Like, you know, we're all a mishmash of things. And that's fine.
I agree. I got slightly distracted by something.
You did.
Then.
You got
sorry.
A message, and I
yeah,
really
I
want
did.
To know what that
oh,
message
I
said.
I can't relay.
I lost
it
her there.
Here.
I lost
I'm sorry.
Her.
But other people were listening, and I was listening as well. I was listening as well. I will tell you offline.
Oh God, you can't do that.
No,
we've
got to go so that she can hear what this message was about. But.
And
yeah,
we're pushing
look,
an hour.
Anyone struggling with their weight, you're not alone, and it's really fucking difficult to work out what to do.
Yeah, now go have a biscuit.
Yeah, or but also, like, fuck it. Health is wealth.
Health is wealth.
So as long as you're healthy, fuck it.
That's
that
it.
Makes no sense at all, does it?
No.
Okay, anyway, lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, I've just realised I said that completely incorrectly. So it's restriction equals starvation equals binge equals guilt equals restriction equals starvation equals binge equals guilt. That was the thing that the dietitian showed me, and actually it just made such sense. Anyway, sorry, I knew I got that wrong. Lots of love from us. Thanks. Bye.